Thank you, ladies. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to talk about that song kind of today in the message. And so the title of the message is Mount Zion. Now, I'm assuming that Mount Zion or Zion hasn't come up in your conversation this last week. Hey, I was wondering, have you thought much about Zion? I'm going to provide something about Zion today. The author here is telling these people great news. He's telling them that they're headed beyond something, headed something beyond them. There's something that's coming. They are heading to something that is outrageously awesome. And I wonder, where are you headed? I think there's a bunch of humdrums that we have in life. Any of you have any humdrums in life? You get up, go to work, you deal with people, you come home, you deal with your husband. Humdrums. We go from soccer to sports, to turning assignments, to go to your office every day, to dealing with physical pain and trauma, being frustrated with your car, not understanding Social Security, dealing with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, being concerned for our country, and on and on and on the humdrums go. And I want you to take a few moments and look at a place that's called Mount Zion. There's a place that's called Mount Zion. I heard a speaker one time who he was pretty excited because there is a literal Mount Zion in Israel. How many of you have seen Mount Zion? You've been there. You've touched it or you've stood at the base of it, okay? There's a literal Mount Zion. It's a physical place. And so this speaker was going to Israel, and he was given the time to talk about the devotion. And so he was excited because in the devotion, in the scripture, there was Mount Zion. He's like, this is going to be good. I'm going to talk about Mount Zion. And when I talk about Mount Zion, I'm going to be able to say, like, right there. It's kind of like Mount Rushmore, you know. You're kind of, how many people can point to Mount Rushmore? But we can. Right there is Mount Rushmore. So he was all excited about talking about Mount Zion. And it kind of fell on deaf ears because Mount Zion is there physically, but it's not what Mount Zion truly means there. It's much more than that. And so I want you to think about Mount Zion. And I want you to think about this all this week because it's a wonderful thing for us to think about with the humdrums, the things that happen in our life. So if you join me in the scripture today, I'm going to be from Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 18. And then I'm going to go through verse 24. It's on the Bible on the chair rack in front of you on page 1009 if you'd like to follow along that way. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words make the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The first thing we see from here is this Old Testament mandate. If you just jump into the scripture here in the first couple of verses of this, you're like, what are we even talking about here? Some of you understand that there was a great fear in the Old Testament of approaching God. There was a place called the tabernacle, and in the tabernacle there was a most holy place, the Holy of the Holies, where God was at. And it's like, don't go there. That's like a very sacred place. There was a mountain that nobody was allowed to go except for Moses. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud and gloom, and the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. I thought of that, and I thought of M. Hill. Some of you have seen M. Hill on fire before, or something on fire. It's like, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go to that hill. I mean, we get burned up. That's not a good thing. And there was fire on that hill. This was where God was at. And then in Exodus chapter 19, it says, "And you shall set bounds for the people round about, saying, take heed that you do not go up into that mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man. He shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." Talking about Moses. I began to think of that passage, and I thought, well, where was the border? I mean, it's some of us like to dangle close to the edge. Don't get close to the mountain. If you get too close to the mountain, you're going to die, like either shot or stoned. We got to tie up old Bessie, because you know Bessie. She likes to roam, but she can't go on the mountain, because if she goes on the mountain, she'll die. And then also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, if we hear the voice of the Lord, our God, anymore, we shall die. So this is what this first part is talking about. For you have not come to this. The people could not approach this mountain or they would die. And it says here that Moses, in verse 21, indeed so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. The law of Mount Sinai, where Moses was at, gives us three things. The sheer majesty of God. Number two, the absolute unapproachability of God. And three, the sheer terror of God. Now, let me say this for just a moment. I think some of us in this room maybe try to approach God in that way. And we see this God as a God that's ready to strike us down. We see God as a God that says, if God really knew what I did this week, boy, I'd be like old Bessie. I'd go a little too close to the mountain and I'd get stoned to death. And that's not who God is. At the same point in time, let me tell you that God is one that we need to be fearful of. And a holy and a reverent fear, not like, oh, I'm so scared of God. Some of us take God ever so lightly and we think, I can do whatever I want to. It doesn't really matter. God's righteous and okay, but it's all right. We need to have this healthy reverence of God, but we don't need to be fearful like they were in the Old Testament of like, we can't even go. Obviously, you weren't too scared to come to church this morning, and I'm glad that you weren't too scared to come to church. But that's how they were. And so in this passage where they're thinking about this, they're like, but you have not come. You're not there. But then he says this, but, maybe one of the most powerful words in the language of the Bible, but you have come to Mount Zion. I want to talk a little bit this morning about Mount Zion. Do you have a picture back there, Greg, of Mount Zion? I think we have a picture of Mount Zion. It's a physical place of Mount Zion. That's not it? Huh. Paul and Bruce are saying that's not it. We'll take it off the screen then. So, Mount Zion. No, take it off. We don't want to, let's say it is for today. Yeah, got the wrong one. On your smartphone that you're probably paying attention to, you might be able to get a picture of Mount Zion. I don't have a picture. I've never been there before. But it's a literal place. I want you to understand this. Physically, a physical place, it's in Jerusalem. It's the highest point in old Jerusalem. Zion, that word, if you've paid attention at all, I bet you haven't, it occurs at least 150 times in the Bible. In the Bible, Zion is mentioned in Psalms 37 times. In Isaiah, it's mentioned 46 times. Then when you include the word mount in front of Zion, it's included in 5 more times in Psalms and 9 more times in Isaiah. So of about 150, a little more than 150 times Zion is mentioned, 97 of those are mentioned in Psalms and mentioned in Isaiah. In Isaiah 24, 23, then the moon will be confounded and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts reigns on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders. Zion is important. Mount Zion is an important place for us. You might be saying, well, I'm not going to go to Israel. Let me get there in just a moment here. Mount Zion is actually seen as a progression of places throughout Scripture. So catch this. The Mount Zion is first the city of David. It goes through a progression. It first comes up in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 7. David takes the stronghold of Zion. It was the ancient Jebusite fortress on the southeast hill of Jerusalem. It came to mean not only the fortress, but the hill. But then, as Solomon built the temple, the meaning expanded to mean the temple and the temple area. But then it really came to stand for the city of Jerusalem itself. So not just a fortress, not just a hill, but the city of Jerusalem. In Isaiah 60:14, Zion is referenced to Israel as the people of God. And so now here in this passage, as well as in Revelation 14, verse 1, it gives the Christian meaning of God's spiritual kingdom, which is the church of God, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. So instead of it just being a place that you can just go to, Mount Zion is bigger and larger than that. Look at it in a little different way. When Jesus came, the scripture says this, that Jesus said, or it was said of him, behold, the kingdom of heaven is near or at hand. So I contend with you today, here is what the author is saying. But I have come to Mount Zion. You haven't went to Israel, but you don't have to go to Israel to get to Mount Zion. What does this tell us, does Scripture tell us that we get when we get to Mount Zion? Listen to these things. I just want to run through them because I think that they're important. But you have come to Mount Zion. This is what it is. To the city of the living God. This is a bold statement. God is living. He is not dead. And this is where you have come, to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem is still alive and well, a place that has been protected for all of humanity, but you've come to a heavenly Jerusalem. This next one I love. I don't think the ESV does as good a job as what I'm going to provide another translation, but and it says, to innumerable angels and festal gathering. Now, for me, that's kind of a tongue twister, but I like what some others say. Maybe I'm more simple, but here's what it says. Thousands upon thousands of angels. Innumerable company of angels. Or another one says, myriads of angels. Another version says, tens of thousands of angels. I hope you're catching this. I don't think many of you caught this morning, but let me give this to you in a little different way. When you came into church this morning, and you came, I believe this is a part of Mount Zion because you are God's people. And when you came to worship, I think there's thousands upon thousands of angels that are here in this assembly worshiping with us. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's not just about Fred. It's not just about Dawson. But there's some angels that are here. And this is Mount Zion. Innumerable angels. Thousands upon thousands. When you think of that, I hope you think grander than just our little world here. Now, our world is pretty big, and you think, but our world is so much, thousands upon thousands of angels. Let me say this. As you're going upon your life and you're doing whatever you're doing, you may think you might be just alone in your little car. Beep, beep. You're not. So much bigger. Thousands upon thousands of angels. I like that one. Maybe you like innumerable angels and festal gathering. That's fine. You can like that one. I like the thousands upon thousands of angels. and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But I want to explain this for just a moment. This might mean to these people of the Hebrews, it might mean that they were the firstborn. They were like the first Christians. And so they were given, you are the firstborn. Please don't think, how many of you are the eldest in the room? You're the eldest in your family. Good for you. I'm not. Sorry, I shouldn't raise my hand. I'm not. I'm the baby. Great. I'm not included in this. No. That's not what it means. And I mean, it doesn't mean just because you're the firstborn in your family. That's great that you are. How many of you are the babies of the family? Yeah, give it up for the babies in the room. Yeah. You can still be a part of this. It's okay. It's all right. Because there's something in Scripture about this. Firstborn, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Firstborn doesn't just mean that you're firstborn in your family, that you can't get into heaven. That's not what it means. I'll come back to it. Here's what also happens at Mount Zion. God. But you have come to Mount Zion and to God, the judge of all. You have come to Mount Zion where the spirits of the righteous are made perfect. To the spirits of the righteous made perfect. That might be something to chew on the whole week. If you're a righteous person, your spirit has been made perfect. It's an interesting concept to think about there. And then it says this, and you've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says this, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. You have come to the mediator. And Jesus was also referenced in this way, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now for me, and I hope you agree with this, this sounds like kind of a neat place, doesn't it? Here's what we have. We have the city of the living God. We have the heavenly Jerusalem. We have thousands upon thousands of angels. We have assembly of the firstborn. We have God who's judge of all. We have the spirit of the righteous made perfect. We have Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. I mean, this is a great place. Now, hear me in this. I think we're kind of trapped in a time continuum, if you will. And so some of you are like, well, are we there or are we not there? And I think it's both. We're trapped in this time frame. And so because of that, we're on earth. But I think that we have come to Mount Zion and it's preparing for us the greater Mount Zion, maybe that we'll understand when we pass on. But we're there now. That's what the scripture says. But you have come. It's not a you are coming to. You have come, and there's more in front of us. But I want to focus on a key word in verse 23 this morning. It says that the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. It's interesting that word, firstborn. If you remember in John chapter 3, one of the greatest scriptures that most of us know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, was given to a guy by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said these words, what must I do to be born again? And here we have now this word of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Each of us must be born again. We must be enrolled in heaven, whose names are written in heaven. I wonder if your name is written into heaven. Are you enrolled in heaven if you were? How about your friend? How about your neighbor? If your name is not written there, then you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, it says this, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, meaning heaven, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's Book of Life contains those individuals' names who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And hear me on this. If you're sitting in the sound of my voice today and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you should have such peace in your soul that Mount Zion is there for you. But you also should have such great concern for a neighbor or a friend that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know of somebody like that? Is that you today? If you know of somebody like that, You need to share with them because Mount Zion is coming. Mount Zion is here. There's thousands upon thousands of angels that are ministering. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? This is not having your name written on the chalkboard or a dry erase board that can go away. It's not written on the door frame. Your name is written in the best book of all. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. The firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. When I think of enrolling, I think of enrolling in a class. Some of you have enrolled in a class, and some of you are glad that you're not enrolled in a class ever again. Like, I don't want to be enrolled in a class. They'll make me do some paperwork or something, and they'll say, write a 10-page paper, and I say, I don't want to write a 10-page paper. They'll do a group project. How many of you like group projects? Some of you are like, I don't want to do a group project because, boy, there's somebody going to be slacking here, you know, and somebody who wants to get an A+ here, and I just want to get a good grade. I don't want to have to get an A+, or I don't, yeah, anyway. When I think of enrolling, you pay money, and though you haven't officially been in the class yet, you are a part of the class. I've enrolled. I've paid my money. I'm ready to go. And your name is written there for that class to begin, and you're waiting for that class to begin. Have you bought into Mount Zion? Have you bought into this wonderful place? But you have come to Mount Zion. How is this accomplished in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10? It says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. But you have to be the firstborn. Many of you have heard this, but God doesn't have grandchildren. God has firstborn children. That's us. You don't get to heaven on the coattails of grandma. Grandma might lead you to the Lord, but you have to make that decision on your own time. The story is told about a lady by the name of Ruth Anna Metzger. She's a professional singer, and she was asked to sing at a wedding of a very wealthy man. The reception was to be held on the top two floors of Seattle's Columbia Tower, the Northwest's tallest skyscraper. She and her husband, Roy, were excited about attending, as many of you would be as well. At the reception, there were waiters in tuxedos, and they had hors d'oeuvres and fancy food. There was a beautiful glass and brass staircase that led to the top floor. They announced the wedding feast was about to begin, and the bride and the groom ascended the stairs, followed by their guests. And at the top of the stairs, the maitre d' had a bound book that greeted the guests outside the doors. So Ruth Anna went to the place, and she said, hi. And the man says, the maitre d' said, may I have your name? And she said, my name is Ruth Anna Metzger, and this is my husband, Roy. He looked through the list, and he said, I'm not finding it. Could you spell it, please? And so she did. R-U-T-H-A-N-N-A, last name, M-E-T-Z-G-A-R. And this is my husband, Roy, R-O-Y. I don't know if she did that. Searching again, the maitre d' looked up and said, I'm sorry, but your name isn't here. She responded, but I sang for the wedding. The maitre d' said, it doesn't matter who or what you did. Without your name in the book, you can't attend the banquet. A waiter showed Ruth Anna and Roy as they walked past the beautifully decorated tables and orchestra, everything. Roy looked over at his wife and said, well, what happened? And she said, I never bothered to RSVP. I missed it. I didn't do that. She received an RSVP in the mail and she forgot to do that. Don't be like these people. Don't miss the banquet. Sometimes we think, well, I've sung in church. Great, so have I. So have other people that haven't followed Christ. Well, I've served in the church. I've even served in the nursery. I've even cleaned poopy diapers. Great. But if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you aren't allowed into Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable angels, the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And then the last part of this verse. And to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. When Abel was slain, his blood upon the ground called for vengeance. But when Jesus was slain, his blood opened the way for reconciliation. Mount Zion is calling to you. It isn't a place that you don't have to worry about because, oh, am I going to fear God? Am I going to be struck down? Am I going to be stoned? No. It's a place that Christ is a mediator for us, and he's given of his blood, and it speaks a better word than Abel. There's a song that I used to sing as a boy, a hymn, and the song was entitled, "We're Marching to Zion, Beautiful, Beautiful Zion." We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. It actually was a psalm that's been written by Isaac Watts. If you know Isaac Watts, he's long gone from now. It was first published in 1707. Here's the words. "Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God." Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for every one of you this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as I pray for you? Before I pray for you, I just want to spend a couple of moments. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You do not have to fear what they used to fear in the Old Testament and think, boy, if I even get close, I'm going to get struck down. No, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable angels. Are you one of the firstborn? Are you enrolled in heaven to meet up with God, the judge of all? This is important for each of us in this room. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me today? Lord Jesus, this is a very serious matter, one that I'm talking about of eternal life. Thank you that you have come to be the mediator, and thank you that you shed your blood on the cross that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, the blood of vengeance. Your word speaks life, and so I thank you for that. I pray for every boy and girl. I pray for every man and every woman who is here today, that they would be enrolled in heaven, if we can say it that way, that they would be in a place where their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when they pass on from this place, they will be able to enjoy all of the things that were mentioned here and even enjoy them today. You being a living God who lives with us, you who allow your angels to oversee things. I pray for each person here today. If they've never confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart, I pray right now that they would say to you, "Oh God, Please forgive me of my sins. I want to be a person that gets to go to Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, where the angels are surrounding and praising God even now, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so, Lord, I pray for every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, it's within the sound of my voice right now, that they would say yes to you. And Lord Jesus, would you help somebody as we sung, "Salvation is here, be saved today through the power of your word." And Lord Jesus, I just pray for those individuals that would say yes to you today, that they would say, "I have a home in Mount Zion. I have a place prepared for me." And Lord Jesus, may you encourage each one as they leave today. As they think about Mount Zion, the place that is prepared for us, may they go rejoicing, knowing that you have paid the sacrifice for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us. We love you and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.